guys will just bow your heads in prayer with me for a moment. Lord, we come to you on this wonderful Wednesday night, a little colder than most, and we come in this warm place and just thank you for a place to gather, to sing praises to you, to dive into your word and hear a message. We just thank you for the space. We thank you for each and every person that's here, and we just pray that you can open our eyes, open our minds, and open our hearts to the message that you have for us tonight. So we come to you as humble servants and pray this all in your name. Amen.
Amen.
Awesome. Thanks, worship. All right. That was great. We are going to have someone come speak tonight that is very near and dear to my heart. A pastor at my home church, which is, if you know me, Raga, 20 minutes away. Great town. Love it. He's up here already. His name is Sam Fielder. He is an associate pastor for family ministries in my church, and he was just an ordained minister. He just passed his exams last week. So a round of applause for him speaking and for that.
Well, thank you.
I'll just turn on the lights.
No, I'm actually good. Put the picture is problem. So I'm going to do the one thing that they tell you never to do in speaking, which is compete with children and or animals. And so I'm just going to let some pictures of my sons right here scroll. That's Micah right there. And that's Marcus. And as you will see, Marcus is the huge one, and that's Micah. Feel free to ooh and ah as they are adorably cute. They take after their father, not so much their mother. That was a joke. Everybody's super uncomfortable right now. Maybe that joke will make sense in like 5 minutes. That was great. All right. Well, thanks so much for having me, man. What an incredible privilege. What an honor for me to be able to be here with you guys, man. It's so great. I just love being able to share the story of what God has done in my life and just how God has worked in me and in my wife, and so the lessons that he's taught me about that. So let me pray. And before I do, I would ask this favor. So can you guys do a favor for me?
Yes.
All right. So I'm going to pray. I'm going to be up here praying. I'm going to pray out loud. But I ask for you guys, while I pray out loud, pray silently. And this is what I'd like for all of us to pray, is that as I speak, that the Holy Spirit would speak, that God would open up all of our hearts and minds, and that God would show us what it is that he has for us tonight. And not just for tonight, but then when we walk out of these doors and we continue on with the rest of our day-to-day life, that God would continue to show us, and that we would be changed people to the glory of God when we walk out of here tonight. So, as I pray out loud, pray something like that, that I just ran along for like 3 minutes in your hearts. So can you do that for me?
Yeah.
Awesome. All right, let's pray. Heavenly God, even now, pray that you would speak. Pray that you would take away the distractions of our lives, Father, the things that we walked into this room with, the places where we have things that are just pressing down on us. Pray that you would ease those burdens, Father. Clear our minds. I pray that even now, that you would empty me of myself, that you would fill me with the power of your Holy Spirit, that the words that I speak tonight would not be mine, but would be yours. Pray that you would open up our hearts, open up our minds, help us to hear and understand what it is that you have for us tonight. May the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. So, I'm going to knock this thing off for a moment. Almost 4 years ago to the day, exactly, I walked into a hospital room in Birmingham, Alabama, that contained two tiny little baby boys. And when I walked into that room, I looked around, and I looked at the two little boys, and I said, hi, come sing. And I'm going to be your king. And what made that really unique was that my wife was with me, and we had never met them before. We were 3 weeks old. 11 months prior to that, my wife and I had, by the leading of God's Holy Spirit, decided to become foster parents. We felt like God was leading us into something, and we weren't sure what that was. It ended up becoming foster parents. And in God's great providence, the first placement that we got was twin newborn baby boys. And so 14 months later, after we finished fostering them, we adopted them, and they became ours. And so in that, God has given me both a unique and a rich understanding of what it means when throughout the Bible, we hear the words that we are adopted by God. And so it's incredible that when, even in Romans, when Paul tells us that we are adopted by God, it's incredible for me to think about what that means and what God has taught me through the adoption of my sons. And so just coming to that place and understanding that Paul in Romans is talking about life by the Spirit and the central work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And one of the things that he talks about is us being adopted. And so in January of 2013, my wife and I started classes to become certified foster parents. And it legit was like taking a college course. And yet, even more so, because not only was there tons of paperwork that we had to do and classes that we had to go to once a week and all this stuff, but it was super invasive. Like, they wanted to know every single thing about my life and every single thing about who I was and all of this stuff. Now, I don't know. You guys are students at Cal, so you're probably not terrible at math like I am. But if you're doing the math in your head, my boys were born in October of 2013, and we started this journey in December of 2012. And so that's 11 months, which means that, and I don't know how good you are on anatomy either, or biology, usually takes 9 months for a baby to be created and born. So that means that 2 months before my boys were even conceived, my wife and I started a journey that would make us their parents. Ephesians 1, 4 and 5 tells us that before God laid the foundations of the world, before the Almighty God, the one who created everything that we see here in all of creation, before the Almighty God did that, he chose you to be his daughter, to be his son. Before the foundations of the world were laid, the King who created everything, he said, I want you to be mine. Man, that's incredible. And so my wife and I started these classes. We started doing all this stuff. We started meeting with people, and we started going through all this stuff, and they came into my house, and they told me all the things in my house that were unsafe for children. I had no idea. And so they started doing all this stuff, and it was this complicated vetting process, whereby they wanted to determine, would my wife and I be good parents? And clearly, they didn't vet us well enough because they let me have these babies. But it worked. But there were some specific things that they were looking for. So the first thing that they wanted to know was, how much money do you make? I told you this was invasive. They wanted to know, how much money do you make? Because the question that they had was economic. They wanted to know, can you care for these children? If we give you children, if we let you parent children, can you care for these children? So they want to know, how much money can you make? Then they had ethical questions. So we had to get people to fill out all kinds of paperwork that said that we were these great people and that we would be wonderful parents and all this stuff. We had to give them all these things, do all this stuff. And basically what they're trying to figure out is, are there any skeletons in my closet? Is there anything that they should know about that would make me an unfit parent? So they had economic questions, they had these ethical questions, and then they had these legitimate questions. Am I who I say I am? We had to go down to the courthouse and get fingerprinted. We had to submit driver's license and birth certificates and passports and everything else. We had to collect all of this information. We had to fill out all this paperwork. We had to send off for criminal background checks, all this stuff. Because they wanted to know, are you actually who you say you are, or are you just pretending to be somebody so that you can get some kids? And finally, They wanted to know about the cost. Were we willing to pay the price of what it would take to get these kids? Were we willing to pay money out of our own pocket when it came down to it to adopt and foster these children? And here's the beautiful thing. When God adopts us, He has answered all these questions. Economic. Psalmist tells us that God owns the cattle on a thousand hills, that the earth is His and everything in it. There's no need for us to worry. Matthew tells us that in Matthew 6. So why do you worry? Because God has got you. There is no cost that He will not pay to have you as His child. Ethical. Jesus knew no sin. He came to earth. Look, I can go like 30 seconds without sinning. Maybe, on a good day. Jesus Christ went His entire life and didn't sin. When He had the trial right before His crucifixion, Pilate said, "I find nothing wrong with this man. I find no reason to crucify him." Completely innocent. Legitimate. Jesus was the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecy of the Messiah, the Savior, the one who would redeem us and restore us into a right relationship with God. And when Jesus says to the Pharisees in the Gospels, "I am," He's actually using the name of God, which means "I am who I am." He's saying, "I am God. I am legitimate. I am who I say I am." And the cost. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. Because here's the thing. Ethically, He knew no sin. There was no fault in Him. And so yet, He was still placed on that cross. And so when He went on that cross to bear the wrath of God for the sins of the world, it was my sin that He was suffering for. It was your sin that He suffered for. And He did it willingly. Went to the cross. Came to a place where He died because He loves you that much. He suffered separation from God for our sake. In 1 Corinthians, Paul tells us that you have been bought with a price. And that price is the life of Jesus Christ on that cross. And here's the thing, it doesn't stop there. Because when Jesus took that sin, He paid the penalty, but He still died. And they laid Him in a tomb. But 3 days later, He rose again from the dead. Once all sin and death was defeated, but not just for Christ. No, He did that for you. He did that because He loves you. It's so incredible to think about that. Paul in Romans 8 tells us that we have been moved from death to life. If we're at a place and we have never surrendered our life to Jesus Christ, if we've never asked for the forgiveness of our sins, if we've never come to a place and said, "Jesus, I want You to be my Lord and Savior, and I will follow You with everything that I have," if we've never come to that place, then we are still dead, living according to the ways of the world. Oh, how glorious is it to know that as soon as we put our faith and trust and surrender our lives to Jesus Christ, we move from death to life. And Paul tells us we no longer have an obligation to this world, to sin, to live according to that, but instead live according to the Spirit who's at work within us. Man, it's incredible to think about that. But here's the thing, we still continue to sin, right? I mean, I go 30 seconds and I'm screwing up again. It doesn't mean that God is removing our sin nature from us. But it means we don't have to play by the old rules anymore. After we finalize the adoption of our boys, we continue to foster. And we bring these children into our home. And they would come with things. But the thing that they came with the most was the baggage. Not just the luggage, but the baggage. The emotional and relational baggage that they would come from this old house. And so they came into my house. And I would say, okay, here's the rules. This is how we behave in our house. This is what we do. This is what's expected of you. This is how you're supposed to act. This is what we expect of the children that live in our house. Well, now my child, I am now your father. This is how you're supposed to act. And yet so many times, even though they were physically living in my house, they lived according to the old rules of the old house that they came out of. And so many times we do that in our Christian life. We don't understand that we don't have to play by those rules anymore. That the Holy Spirit, when we've moved from death to life, has put in us the ability now to play by God's rules. But so many times we continue to play by these old rules. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, is at work in you. When you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, and you no longer have to play by the old rules. Now, you can grow up and be who you are. And so, we became certified in September of 2013. We accepted this placement of newborn twins 6 weeks before they were born. So we had 6 weeks to get ready for them. 6 weeks to collect as many diapers as we possibly could, which we used up in like a week. I don't know if you know this, but twin babies use a ton of diapers. Your house is just going to smell like poop all the time. That's just how it works. But we started getting ready. We got their room ready. We got their cribs ready. We collected clothes. We collected diapers. We got car seats. All of this stuff. Psalm 139 tells us that God knew you and all of your days before you were born. In the same way that my wife and I prepared for our sons before they were born, before you were born, God was preparing your life for you. He knew what you'd look like. He knew what your voice would sound like. He knew all the things about you because he loves you that much. Man, so incredible. And so, in October of 2013, we walked into this hospital room. We met these boys. 3 days later, we brought them home. They were tiny. It was absolutely one of the most terrifying things of my life, walking out of that hospital room and looking at my wife and going, I guess we're actually doing this, huh? We put them in the car. We drove home. And I looked down at them and I said, I have no idea what to do with you guys right now. We started parenting them, but they were helpless babies. They couldn't do anything. They were 3 weeks old. They were tiny. Combined, they weighed like 10 pounds. They didn't do anything to make me their father. They didn't write me a letter. They didn't call. They didn't send out some kind of message that said, hey, we're little helpless babies that are orphaned in a hospital that we need some parents. Why don't Sam and Kristen, you guys come take care of us? No. God, in his providence, sent us there and made us their parents. Paul continues on. He says, not only do we move through the power of the Spirit from death to life, but it changes us from slaves to children. We are those helpless babies, laying there, stuck in our sin, stuck in all of the terrible, evil things that we do. And yet God, in his rich, great, incredible mercy, comes to us. Not because of who we are, but because of how great we are. You know, one of my good friends loves to say, God didn't save you because he has good taste. We bring nothing to the table. We can't earn our salvation. We can't work hard enough to make it happen. No. It's the free gift of God. By God's grace and great mercy alone. And he changes us. We've been adopted, which means there's a fundamental relationship change that reorients who we are and how we act. And we no longer have to stand in fear because a transaction has been exchanged for a relation. You see, when you're a slave, your only worth is as part of a transaction. Your only worth is by being owned by someone. And when we are slaves to sin, we are owned by sin. But when God adopts us, He doesn't adopt us as some sort of evil taskmaster. He doesn't adopt us as someone who is angry with us. No, He adopts us as a gracious and loving Father. So that transaction becomes a relation where we move from a slave to a child. And so because of that, we no longer have to stand in fear. We don't have to be afraid because we know that no matter what happens, we will always have our Heavenly Father. Nothing will ever separate us. I am Marcus and Micah Fielder's father. And there is nothing in this world that will ever happen that can ever change that. I don't care what they do, I will be their father. I don't care what I do, they will be my sons. I am their father. And that will never, ever change. And the same thing is true of God. When we become His children, it's permanent. And so that permanence leads to confidence. And we can serve God in confidence, and we can move forward in confidence. Because we can no less lose our relationship with God than I can unadopt my sons. My sons are not perfect. They do stuff all the time that disappoints me, that frustrates me. And here's the thing. There has never been one single time when I've said, okay, that's it, enough, everybody in the car, we're going to the courthouse, adoption off, we're going to annul this thing. That's absolutely ridiculous. It's absurd. It's impossible. And yet, so many times, that's how we live our lives. We think that God is angry with us. We think that He's mad at us. We think that He's out to get us. We think that He's this person that just wants to destroy our lives and doesn't want us to have any fun. God loves us as beloved children of the Almighty King who have been adopted into a family that will never, ever let Him go. There is nothing in this world or the world to come that can separate us from Christ. It's unthinkable and impossible. And so the permanence of that gives us confidence that we can now follow God no matter what He calls us to do. It doesn't matter how illogical it seems. It doesn't matter how scary it is. It doesn't matter how much we think it's the worst idea ever. Read through the Bible. Look at some of the things that God did. Hey, Joshua, see that city over there, Jericho? I want you to go conquer that. Great, get the battering ram ready. Fire up the cannons. We're going to take this. No, I want you to march around it and yell at it. God, this is a terrible plan. And yet this is what God called people of Israel to do. He did it and it worked. Because God is great. Not us. God. He will hold our hands. But here's the thing. 4 years ago, I adopted two tiny little babies. And my expectation was not that they would stay babies. My expectation was they would grow. My expectation was that they would grow up and become little boys, and eventually become young men, and eventually become adults. If you're here tonight, and you've surrendered your life to Christ, you've been adopted by the King of the universe, He wants the same for you. If your Christian walk is the same today as it was a year ago, 6 months ago, God wants you to take that step. He wants you to move forward. God always wants us growing in our relationship with Him in the same way that I want my sons to continue to grow up. If my sons 4 years later, we're still these tiny little baby boys that weighed a combined 10 pounds. you better believe we would be at every hospital and every specialist in the nation trying to figure out what was wrong with him. If your Christian walk is still the same as it was 4 years ago, there's something wrong. That needs to be fixed. So I want to leave you with two questions tonight. Question number one. Have you been adopted by the Almighty King? Have you surrendered your life to Christ? Have you? You can do it right now. Sitting in your seat. Give your life to the King. Move from death to life, from slave to child. And if you have, the next question is, what's your next step? Because God is never content to leave us where we are. God always wants us to grow. God always wants us to come to a place where we are trusting Him even more. The incredible thing is that in all of us, it's going to look different. How that plays itself out in my life is going to be different than in each one of your lives. Yet the Holy Spirit is good. The Almighty God of the universe will speak to you and tell you, and you will know what your next step is. So if you are an adopted child of the King, rest in that permanence. And know that one day we will get to see the King face to face. And we will get to crawl up in His lap, the same way that my boys crawl up in my lap now. Grab a hold of my face. Look at me and say, Dad, I love you. We will get to do that with the Almighty King of the universe for all of eternity. How incredible is that? Why would we not give up any temporary thing here on earth to know that we can serve God confidently because we are permanently adopted as His children? Heavenly Father, oh, those words. A Father who loves us, and one who is in heaven. Thank you. To hold us in me. That you sent your Son to die on the cross, pay for our sin, to rise from the dead, defeating sin and death once and for all. So that we be adopted as children of the King. I pray right now for each one of these students in this room. Thank you for how much you love. Pray that you would continue to speak, continue to work in our hearts, continue to grow and nurture them as a good, gracious Father. Thank you for your love. Jesus.
One worship song, so you guys all want to just stand up or sit down. Time of reflection, it's going to be a slower song, so.